Well, it's good to be back tonight. If you have in need of healing, tonight is your night.
Yes.
I just had it on my heart to minister that. And let's just begin in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you that you've given us boldness to preach your word. And you said that you would stretch forth your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders would be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory. Now, Father, we thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. We thank you, Father, that you told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you said that when they did, you would work with us, confirming your word with signs following. So we thank you in advance for everything that will take place. We thank you for the things that's already taken place these last three services.
Yes,
but we thank you in advance for everything that will take place tonight. And for everything that's taken place this whole time we've been here, we give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' precious name. And all the saints said,
amen.
So like I said, if you're in need of healing tonight, tonight is your night. You know, I've given my testimony about, it was just the word of God. An old drug dealer friend of mine got saved and learned the word of God. And when I was at the worst point in my life, he set me down and he shared scriptures with me a couple hours, just stuff I'd never heard. I grew up in a denominational church and was in the church several years. My grandfather was a preacher of that denomination, but the things he shared with me, I'd never heard. You know, thank God that the Baptists, that was the denomination, they believe in people getting saved, but that's about as far as they go. I don't know how they do today, but at least back then they didn't. But really, if you look at the word saved, the Greek word sozo, it's the whole package.
Yes.
It's not only your sins washed away and forgiven, and you get to spend eternity with God, but it's healing, it's protection, it's provision, it's made whole. That's miracles. You know, if I had accidentally cut my finger off by using a power tool or something, I don't need a healing. I need a miracle. I need a total restoration.
Right.
But that word sozo, it's got that in the package.
Wow. Amen.
I mean, it's the whole deal. And Jesus paid for that for us.
Yes.
And so if he paid for us, I mean, if we're standing in line at a grocery store or something, and somebody ahead of us says, I want to pay for their groceries back here. Well, we wouldn't argue with them, would we? We'd just readily receive it, and we wouldn't let that clerk say, well, hey, come back here. You hadn't paid for your groceries. What would we say? Well, that person in front of me paid for the groceries. Well, the person in front of us, the King of Kings and Lord of Glory, paid for everything for our behalf.
Amen.
So let's look at some scriptures tonight. You know, Jesus was actually God's will in the flesh.
Yeah.
And let's look in John 14, verse 8 and 9. Philip asked him a question, and he said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, he said, I have been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? You know, Jesus was all the time giving God the glory. He said, it's the Father in me. He does the works. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. And in John chapter 10 and verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. One. So if you see Jesus do something, then we know it's the will of God. And we can see all the accounts of what took place with Jesus in the four Gospels. I mean, you know, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He provided food for 5,000. Well, actually, it was a whole lot more than 5,000 if you count the kids and everything. Twice. Walked on the water. And then he told us we could do those same things.
Amen?
Amen. So let's look at God's will performed by the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working together to perform his perfect will for you and for me. Acts 10:38. It says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good. He went about doing good. What good did he do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Healing how many? How many? How many is all? All is all. It's 100%. In Polish we say 100%. That means 100. All that was oppressed of the devil. So right here in this passage, we can see the perfect will of God. And then it shows us who put the sickness on us.
Right.
Now this wasn't in my notes, but I will just turn there. John 10:10. In Acts 10:38 and John 10:10, we can see clearly God's will and the devil's will. Acts 10:10, John 10:10. Help me. What's that say? Huh? The thief comes. I'm just checking to see if you knew it. No, not really. Hey, my mind went blank. I can't lie while I'm up here preaching. John 10:10, it says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. So if anything is killing, stealing, or destroying, we know it's the devil. And he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, it's not abundant life when we're sick. It's not abundant life when it's hard to get our checkbook to balance. It's not abundant life when we've got confusion in our minds. But Jesus came to give us abundant life, but the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Actually, the will of God, he wants us, the devil wants us sick, poor, and sorry, but God wants us healed, prosperous, and free.
Amen.
Amen. So in these two scriptures, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. So God sent Jesus to get the stuff that the devil put on us. And then Jesus said in John 10:10, he said it was a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil doesn't want us to know the perfect will of God. That's why there's been so much confusion about God's, well, is it God's will? Well, let's just look in the Bible. Let's find out what the walking, talking will of God did. He healed the sick, raised the dead, opened blind eyes, opened deaf ears. I mean, it's irrefutable what God's will is if we just look into the Gospels and the Gospels alone.
Amen.
Jesus was a healer,
yes.
But he was also a provider,
yes.
And one that was very merciful. You know, just look at all the people that messed up that Jesus encountered, and he always was gracious and forgave them and helped them. And he's still the same today. I said he's still the same today. You know, Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. God's will never changes. I said God's will never changes.
Amen.
So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, Jesus wouldn't work against the will of God. He said, it's the Father in me that does the work. Why would God anoint Jesus if it was not God's will for healing? Why would God anoint Jesus to heal somebody if it wasn't his will?
He wouldn't.
He wouldn't.
Yeah.
So let's look at some other scriptures concerning Jesus revealing God's will. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 40, it says, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them, and most of them got healed. Huh?
Everyone.
How many?
Everyone.
Everyone. That's the same as saying all, isn't it? Everyone. Now, we don't know exactly how many it was, but it says those that had... that were sick with various diseases. You know, there's diseases that the doctors don't know what it is, but God has already made provision for that to be healed. Just because we don't know what a disease is doesn't mean that the healing has already been provided. So he laid hands on them, on every one of them, and they were healed. Who was healed? Every one of them. Everyone he laid hands on was healed. We can see the same instance in Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing how many? How many? All kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. He went about all of Galilee. He went about the big city, teaching, preaching, and healing. You know, that was kind of the format that Jesus always did. Now, there were times that we just saw Jesus operate in the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. But you can always count on the fact that if you teach and preach, healing will take place. You know, because like Angela talked about, the word is like a seed. And if someone is sick, then they need seeds of healing. Someone's poor, they need seeds of prosperity. But when the seed is planted, it never get confused. If you plant a natural seed in the ground, say a peach tree, peach seed, that seed is not going to grow up and be an apple tree, is it?
Right.
No. And the same thing with healing. When you preach healing, you can expect healing to manifest. And he went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Why? I'm glad you asked. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus knew that if he wanted to get people healed, without the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, he had to teach and to preach first. And notice, teaching and preaching came before the healing.
Right.
And you'll see that most of the time, unless, like I said, the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost are in operation. Teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. That was just a common denominator, a common practice of his. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. And we can see the same thing in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. It said, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now in Matthew 4, it said he went about all Galilee, Galilee being a big city. But here he said he went about the cities and villages. That lets me know that Jesus is not only concerned about the city folk, but he's concerned about the country folk.
Amen.
Amen. He's concerned about everybody.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what nation we're from, what tongue we speak.
Amen.
Like the little song I learned in Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. We're all precious in his sight. Everybody. I said everybody. Jesus loves everybody. God loves everybody. He doesn't care where we come from, what color our skin is, what language we speak. He loves us all. And he wants all of us to be healed.
Yes.
Amen. So he went about the cities and villages doing the same thing that we saw in Matthew 4, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Notice he got outside the churches. Amen? He got outside the churches. Thank God for those people that will get outside the church and minister to the sick. We had a graduate that went over in out of the Poland school. And he was a pharmacist, and he got hooked up with a Lutheran church over in the United Kingdom. And there was a group of them that would go out into the park, and they had this certain bench. They'd go every week at a certain period. Every Friday night. And they had this big banner they'd put over the bench, healing. And people would be drawn to that, and they'd come and they'd start asking questions. And they would minister to people and pray for people, and all kinds of people got healed because they shared the word with them, laid hands on them, and saw healing. And some of the graduates in Poland picked up on that and started doing the same thing. You know, people are hurting. And when you've got the good news, they'll listen to you. Just like me. You know, I was hurting. I was in the lowest part of my life. And when David set me down at that kitchen table and began to show me how much God loved me and God wanted me healed and delivered and God wanted to fill me with the Holy Spirit, my goodness. And then I went home. I didn't pray with him right then, but I went home and on my mother's couch, I knelt down and asked Jesus to come back into my life because I was backslidden. For over 13 years, drug dealer, drug addict, in and out of the penitentiary. And all those scriptures he shared with me, I just couldn't get away from him. And I said, because I'd been born again as a child in that Baptist church I went to, but I got away from it, just got into the wrong bunch. But I knelt down at my mother's couch, and I just said, Jesus, forgive me for being so stupid all these years. Come back into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And then I just said this one little phrase. I want everything that I saw in your word. And when I said that, man, I'm telling you. Now, I'd been a drug user, cocaine, intravenously. And so I knew what high was all about. I'd spent 13 years trying to stay high. But when I said that, the Holy Ghost came on me, and I never experienced a high like that before in all my life. And I just knew right then, I am totally and completely free of drugs. And it was just because someone loved God enough and loved me enough and set me down and showed me what the Word said. And then I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and two or three days later, a week later, I realized that I didn't need Tums and Tylenol anymore. I had indigestion all the time and headaches all the time. And then I realized I was healed. And I knew that all of that happened that night, July 6, 1983. Over 40 years now. Glory to God. I know the power of the Word. Amen. The Word always works. And it set me on a quest for my life to learn the Word of God and minister the Word of God and see God do what He wants to do. Amen. And I believe that's for every believer.
Amen.
Come on. David's, he's still just a believer. I went to work for him. He was a painting contractor, and he still dabbles a little bit. He's a few years younger than me. He's about 67, 68. But he still, you know, paints a little bit, works a little bit, but he was never been a preacher. But he knew the Word. Thank God that he knew the Word and he shared it with me and it got me set free. The Word of God will always work for people that were willing to work it. Amen. I said the Word of God will always work for people that is willing to work it. He just set me down and just showed me scripture after scripture after scripture. And that got on the inside of me and it set me free. And then I've been able to go all over the world and tell people what God did for me. Just because of that one man. So he said, Matthew 9:35, Jesus went about the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing what? Every sickness and every disease among the people. We see that tonight. I said, we're going to see that tonight. I said, we're going to see that tonight. How can you say that, Brother Larry? Because what we see in the Word, we can expect in a service. Or we can expect when we minister to other people. Now, I don't know why that night I wouldn't pray with David, but I just couldn't get away from those scriptures. And thank God they got on the inside of me and set me free. In Matthew chapter 8 in verse 16, it says, when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed how many?
All
that were sick. You know, I'm sure I had a few devils at that time. I'd been in and out of the penitentiary and been a drug dealer and a drug addict, and I had some of the stupidest ideas, but thank God I got totally and completely set free that night when I just said, Lord, I want everything that I saw in your word. And he came upon me and set me free and healed me and gave me a new life and gave me a wonderful testimony.
Amen.
But you know, my wife's got a better testimony than I do. She grew up in the church and she's never strayed from the things of God. Was born again at about 5 years old and later got filled with the Holy Spirit and served God. She went to Bible school and she, you know, it's sometimes, it maybe it's a little more popular these days, but when she graduated Bible school back in 79, 75, she told the Lord, she said, if I have to stand on the street corner and preach to people, I'm going to preach. That just tenacity. But thank God, you know, that's a better testimony than what mine is. I'm reminded of a story. This little old lady, she went to this biker convention. And these bikers are getting up. Maybe y'all have heard it. These bikers get up and one guy told a testimony and another guy get up and told a testimony. And he had lived a worse life than the guy before him. And another guy got up and his life was a lot worse than the one before and the one before. And another guy gets up and he all tell all these horrible things that they did. And then they talked about getting saved. And this one little old lady got up and she says, I got a better testimony than all of them. She says, I got saved as a child and I lived for Jesus all my life. And the whole place erupted.
Oh, praise God. Yeah.
You know, we don't have to go through these things. I'm glad I don't have to go back there. Amen. But thank God. God is good, and it don't matter when you came into the kingdom. He's good to all, and whatever he did for one, he'll do for another. He kept her, and he got me out of my stupidity. So he said, and when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all who were sick. He healed all who were sick. So why shouldn't we be able to see that here tonight?
Amen.
Come on now. I said, why shouldn't we be able to see that here tonight? Because it's the same word.
Yeah.
The same word that set me free is many of the things I'm sharing here tonight. And the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between the soul and the spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's alive and powerful, and it always works.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who's preaching it. The power is in the word.
Amen.
Come on, the power is in the word. Yes. Just like the word that came out of David's mouth is just as powerful as the word coming out of my mouth tonight. The word that came out of Billy Graham's mouth is just as powerful here tonight or anywhere else. Reinhard Bonnke or any mighty man or woman of God that's ever preached the word. The word is always the same. It will always produce results. Let's look at a situation where multitudes were healed in Matthew chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 30. And it said, then multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Healed who? He healed the multitudes that were lame, blind, mute, and maimed. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now, Angela preaches a sermon, and she talks about maimed. It's a word, kulos. It's like if you get your arm cut off. He's talking about missing body parts. Now, it could be if you had a missing body part that was cut off, or maybe you're not born with it. But that is true for here tonight.
Amen.
He said, these are the people that were in that crowd. He said, the lame, that's those that can't walk. The blind, you can't see. The mute, you can't talk. And the maimed, those that are missing body parts. And that could be externally or internally. And he said they marveled and they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole. That's that word sozo, made whole, complete. The lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. So we're talking about miracles. We're not just talking about healing. Healing is a restoration of the body, but a miracle is a total restoration of a part that's missing or that has never been formed or that never was. See, God's not only in the healing business, but he's in the miracle business. I said God's not only in the healing business, he's in the miracle business. Nothing missing, nothing damaged. Amen? That's what God's perfect will for us is. Seems to me that if it was not God's will to heal all those that were recorded in these instances, there would be at least someone in these two scriptures that God did not heal. But we don't see that. We don't see God ever turning people away from healing. Let's look at another example of the great multitudes. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "And when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all." 100%.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how many a multitude is, but if I were thinking about a great multitude, I'd think about an NFL stadium.
Well, this is multitudes, plural. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I didn't even see that.
More than one multitude.
Great multitudes. Thank you. I'll have to preach that next time. Great multitudes. Not just a great multitude, but great multitudes. So we're talking several NFL football stadiums.
Yeah.
Now, how many would that, what's some of the big stadiums hold
60,
anymore?
60,000, 70,000.
I'm not really a sports buff. My wife is. But anyway, we're talking 67 and times two or three maybe. So we're talking 150,000 people. And it said they were all healed. 100%. If there were some sick people in there, if there were some maimed people in there, if there were some blind people in there, if there were some mute people in there, the Bible says they were all healed.
Amen.
I mean, that's concrete proof that it's God's will for everybody to be healed all the time.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Now, I realize, we don't see 100% results in our ministry, but I believe one day we will. That's what I'm shooting for.
Amen.
Because if Jesus can do it, I can do it.
Amen.
He told me I could. We'll look at that scripture later. Did you see something else?
No,
Okay.
I'm taking you on.
Amen. So what does that mean for us today? I've already quoted it. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, how is he the same? Well, I'm glad you asked. Through us.
Yes.
Amen. We're his body,
yes.
Right?
Yes, we are.
And we looked at this last night, but we'll look at it again. No, I don't think we looked at this one, but we'll look at it now. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. But I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Jesus came close to them and said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority." Now, the King James just says, go. But here he says, and go in my authority. See, we're not going in our authority. We're going in his authority. So the things that he did, we can do also. Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Amen.
I said, the things that he did, we can do also. It's like I said, we've got to get this mindset about us. That we can do the same things Jesus did. Because he told us we could. And I said this, it was last night. You know, if these scriptures are not true, you just got to start tearing pages out of your Bible.
That's right.
And if you can't trust this scripture, how can you trust John 3:16?
That's right.
But we can trust the Scriptures.
Yes.
I said we can trust the Scriptures. Actually, that's what we have to put the pressure on.
Right.
Is the Scripture. And the Word will always hold up for itself.
Yes, amen.
Because it's alive and powerful. And it will always do what God intended it to do. The problem is, religion has gotten mixed up in people's preaching, in people's doctrines. Well, you know, we're just not sure that God will heal all the time, everyone all the time. Well, that's not going to give faith to anybody. How are you going to know that most likely, we're going to think, well, I'm one of the ones that's not going to get healed. But when you keep hearing scriptures like this, that gives you faith to say, bless God, tonight's my night, and I'm going to receive my healing. Just like that woman that was sung about. You know, she had to push her way through the crowd, and she went through the crowd saying, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And when she touched his garment, he felt something go out of him. He felt virtue go out of him. He felt the power of God go out of him. And there were a lot of people touching him. But she was the only one touching him in faith. How do you know she was in faith? Because she said, she's pushing her way through that crowd, saying to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she got it. And then a lot of them, everyone there that was sick could have gotten the same thing, but she was the only one because she reached out with her faith and she said, tonight's my night, I'm getting my healing tonight. I don't care how many times I've had hands on me, tonight is my night. And she got it.
Yeah.
And he said later on, he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say it was my power, even though it was his power. And he didn't say it was my faith, even though it was his faith. Because it was his faith in her. I don't know what she heard about him, but evidently she heard that he was a miracle worker, and she was bound and determined that she was going to make her way through that crowd, and she was going to touch his garment, and when she touched his garment, she was made completely whole. She was sozoed. That's the Greek word. She was made whole. Whatever was wrong with her, her faith touched the power of God that was coming out of Jesus, and she was made completely whole.
Amen.
And that can be true tonight.
Yes.
I said that can be true for you tonight.
Amen.
See, because when we minister to people, we believe what I'm about to share in Mark 16. Let's just go there. Mark 16, verse 15. I know I shared this, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, my goodness, I'm in my second year at Rhema, been in the class with some of these same people, and Dad, Brother Hagin, he'd get up and he'd say, turn in your Bibles to Mark 11:23. And some knucklehead behind me, I've heard that before, and I'm thinking, yeah, and you're probably the one that needs to hear it again.
I had to
exercise great love and not turn around and slap him. But you know, I've probably been guilty of the same thing. But anyway, Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's so important that we share what we know with others. You know, you may think that the person you're talking to knows what you know. But if they haven't been in a church like this, they don't know what you know. There's no telling what they know. There's no telling what they've heard come out of a pulpit. I mean, there's no reason that there should be any ignorant ministers preaching today. There's so much out there that's available. If anybody's got just a little bit of hunger, they should be able to go after it. But you know, that night that David sat me down at his kitchen table, I was so thankful. I mean, I heard things, I saw things in the Word of God that I'd never ever heard before. I mean, it was almost too good to be true. The gospel is almost too good to be true. But the good news about it is, it is true. And it is good. And it's God's will. And that's what He wants for everyone. And when we get that on the inside of us, we can share it with others. That's the point I really wanted to bring across. We can share it with others. Because there's a lost and dying world out there. There's a hurting world out there that needs to hear what we know.
Amen.
Like I said the other night, when we got saved, why didn't God just beam us up into heaven? He left us here on earth between hell and people trying to get there. Man, I was on a fast road to hell, and David interfered with my life. Thank God he interfered the God way with my life. And I'm doing what I'm doing today because one man knew the word of God, and he loved God and he loved me. So, you know, it's really time for us to grow up and use the things that we know from God. Don't keep it to ourselves. Now, if people don't want to hear it, then, you know, you can't force things down them. I'd like to be able to, but you can't force things down them. But, you know, you can be persistent. You can be persistent because sometimes people will be a little resistant because they've got so much religion. They've heard so much religion and heard all the things that God won't do or can't do anymore. And that's just a lie straight from the pits of hell.
Amen.
God wants to do these things and He wants to use His body.
Yes.
You and me. So He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 17. And these signs will follow who?
Those who believe.
Are you a believer?
Yes.
These signs should follow you.
Amen.
I got one amen from the pastor. I said, these signs should follow you.
Amen.
These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. We used to say when we were in Prague, I mean, we came out of our subdivision and we came to a T, and it was, you could oversee the city.
The
city was in a valley. And sometimes you could see the city and sometimes you couldn't because of the fog. And we used to say we could eat, drink, or breathe any deadly thing and it shall not hurt us. But he said, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, by no means it will hurt them. Here's the point I want to get to. Believers. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will recover. It doesn't say they might recover or they lay hands on the sick and let's just see if it is God's will. No, it said they lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's what we believe.
Yeah.
When we lay our hands on whoever, we believe that the power of God will be transmitted from us.
Amen.
You know, think about jumper cables. You connect one battery to another battery to get that battery started. The power goes to that jumper cable. There's nothing special about the jumper cable. There's nothing special about us believers. The power comes from God, but God needs our hands.
Right.
Come on, God needs our mouth. You know, the angels are not going to preach the gospel, not in this dispensation. He needs us. He needs us to open our mouth boldly and proclaim the word, and then He will confirm the word with signs following. I am so adamant and so thankful that fact is true. If I will watch over the word and preach the word, God has obligated Himself to confirm His word.
Amen.
Not what I think the word says, not what some other preacher said the word says, but if I preach His word, God said He will confirm His word. If you preach the word or share the word, like David with me, he didn't get up here and wave his hands and spit on Angela. while he's preaching? No, he just sat at the table and just showed me scripture after scripture after scripture and read it out loud to me. And that word got on the inside of me, and man, it set me free. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. But we just believe that we're just like a jumper cable. We lay our hands on the sick, and they recover. They shall recover. They will recover. We told you the story about Mirka. You know, we went to the hospital and prayed for her. And she said, I don't believe. After reading this passage of scripture, and we said, well, you don't have to believe. The Bible says, believers, Angela and I qualify. We'll lay hands on the sick. You qualify. All we need is your permission. Just think about it. No one that Jesus ministered to was saved. Until his death, burial, and resurrection, salvation was the new birth. Salvation was available, but the new birth was not available until he raised from the dead. None of the people, even under the old covenant, none of the people that got healed by the prophets or any other means was he saved.
Right.
So people don't have to be saved to get healed. If you present the word will do the trick.
Amen.
And then just like me, or just like others that I've seen, we've seen many people get healed and then accept Jesus as their Lord. But you got to preach the gospel. You got to share what you know. And you would be amazed if you would just take that step and start sharing the things that are in reservoir on the inside of your spirit will come up out of your mouth. And you'll just be amazed at the scriptures that comes out of your mouth. And because, you know, we don't know about people's lives. We don't know what they need to hear. But the Holy One that lives on the inside of us does. Amen. And he will take what we've imparted, what we've put on the inside of us, and speak to them, even beyond what we know. Or then maybe the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit will begin to operate. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Knowing what to say or how to minister to someone. You know, we can always depend on preaching the word and seeing God manifest. And then, we don't have time to go into it, but if we're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, the gifts and manifestation of the Holy Spirit can and should operate through us.
Amen.
And then we'll see that other part of God operating.
Amen.
But you can always count on the word.
Yes.
You can always count on God confirming his word. And then John 14:12. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, we believe in him, right? The works I do, you'll do also. So what have we seen? He opened blind eyes, the lame walked, the maimed were made whole, the people that was healed got their hearing. People that were blind got their sight. People that were missing body parts got missing body parts restored. He said, the things that I did, all these things that we've talked about, all these things that, all these scriptures that we've seen, these will work through us.
Amen. Amen.
I'm getting one amen. I said, these things will work through us. Everything that we see Jesus doing in his earthly ministry, he'll do through us in his, he's, actually, Jesus is finishing his earthly ministry through his body. See, when he was here on the earth, he was limited to one physical body. But now he's not limited.
That's right.
He's got us.
Yeah,
and that, you know, there's people like us all over the world.
Amen.
That are learning the word. I mean, if we could only hear about all the wonderful things that God is doing. You know, it looks pretty bad at this day and this time. All the stuff that's going on, the wars and the wokeism and all this gobbledygook that's going on. But I'm telling you, God is working.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
God is working. And you can't depend on Communist News Network, I mean CNN,
Amen.
To tell you what's going on in the world.
Amen.
But there's a lot going on that we don't even know about. There's a great revival going on in China.
Yeah.
And what did you say, in the Muslim world?
Iran, and it's led by women.
Yeah. Angela read something that's talking about there's a great revival going on in Iran, and it's being led by the women. So he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, you'll do also. And greater works than these shall I do, because I go to the Father. So let's just don't get tripped up on the greater works. Let's do the works. I believe, now this is my thinking, I believe the greater works were people getting saved. The new birth. I mean, you know, you could go to heaven with a missing limb and sick in your mind and sick in your body, but thank God you get to spend eternity with God. Now, I don't believe it's God's will, but just think about it. I mean, people got healed under Jesus' ministry, but no one got saved until he was crucified, buried, and resurrected, and then the new birth was available. What a wonderful thing.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. And all of these wonderful things are provided for us. And like I said the other night, we can be that delivery person.
Yes. Amen.
And deliver the goods to the people.
Yeah.
So, we're going to minister to some people tonight. And who is it that's been having problems with their ribs? Why don't you come down and let us minister to you, please? And also work on the other situation that we ministered to last night.
It has gotten better.
It's better?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we ministered to her the other night, but...
Sunday morning.
But we found out that, you know... I know there are times that you pray for people and you believe you minister the power of God and they believe they receive their healing and they just continue to thank God until the total manifestation. But we've seen time and time again ministering the anointing over and over. We were in a church in Columbus, Indiana. We did a week-long camp meeting. And we ministered to this lady that had a detached retina. And she had a black line down the middle of one eye. And she could see just a little bit out of the sides of both eyes. And we ministered to her and laid hands on her. And that line got a little smaller. And we just felt impressed of the Lord to do that every service. And every service we laid hands on her. And the doctor said, we're not going to operate. We're not going to touch it because if we did anything, you could probably end up blind. But anyway, every time we ministered to her, that line got smaller and smaller and smaller. We're ministering the anointing to her.
Yes.
And then the last night was a Friday night, and she still had a hair line down the middle of her eye. And we told her by this time next week, that line will be gone. You'll have 20/20 vision. And the pastor called us Wednesday. And she said she'd gone back to the optometrist. And the line was gone. She had 20/20 vision. And so we learned right then that we can minister the anointing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like taking medicine.
Yeah.
You get a prescription and you take two or three doses of the medicine. And you don't see any effects, but maybe the third, the fourth day, you begin to see effects of the medicine.
Yeah.
We can see the same thing. Now, I like to see instant things, but sometimes we don't see instant things. But we thank you, Father. You've revealed this about her ribs. Now we command them to be healed. And in this other situation with her back, Father, we thank you. The anointing is working in her up and down that spinal cord, causing her to be totally and completely healed. And we speak to any root of pain and we forbid it to function or operate anymore in the name of Jesus.
command it in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Create a miracle in this back and in these ribs. In Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank
we
you,
thank you
Jesus.
For your mighty power flowing
thank
into
you,
her
Jesus.
Back.
Praise
all
God.
Up and down the spine.
Yep.
Brand new spine.
Thank
brand
you,
new
Lord.
Disc.
Yep.
Brand
thank
new vertebra.
Yep.
In Jesus'
total
name.
Restoration
yes.
in this spine.
Anything that was
will not settle for anything less.
Is undone in Jesus'
total
name.
Restoration.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you,
we thank
Lord.
You for that power working in her body.
Thank you, Jesus.
And any pain has
yeah.
to go
hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Every
thank
nerve
you, Lord.
Has to calm
thank
down.
You,
yeah.
Stop sending sickness
yes.
to the brain.
That's right.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
thank you,
name.
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Father.
Praise